The economy's in trouble, and it's roads and bridges and sewers to the rescue.
$12 billion would go to.
Well, and it's $30 billion for highways, and then he's also put money for water and sewer and what have you.
And that's right. It's $30 billion for highways, $12 billion for rail, $12 billion for transit, and $5 billion for rail. So.
And so let's just say we'll find out very soon.
Yep.
So how many billions of tax dollars is it going to take to make a difference? That's coming up on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, January 14th, and Catherine Lanfer is in for John Hockenberry today. Good morning, Catherine.
Hey, good morning, Adore. In this hour, we continue that conversation on transit dollars. We also look at taxes and the Treasury Secretary nominee, plus the Department of Justice and right-thinking Americans, and a conversation with the Israeli ambassador to the UN. Those stories coming up, but first, these headlines.
As fighting continues in Gaza, there's been a new exchange of fire between Israel and Lebanon. Lebanese militants fired rockets into northern Israel, which responded with artillery shells. It's a tiny skirmish with minimal damage on either side, especially compared to the war Israel and Hezbollah fought there in 2006. Neither side wants another big fight. Lebanon has denied responsibility, shifting blame to rogue militant groups, and Israel says it doesn't want a second front on its northern border. While fighters battle, diplomats are trying to stop the conflict in Gaza. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is in Egypt today, part of a trip through the Middle East. He's calling on Israel and Hamas to both do their part.
Hamas must stop this fighting. They must fully cooperate and observe Security Council resolution so that there can be a peace and stability. For that, Israel also must fully cooperate.
Cairo continues to be a hot spot for diplomats in the region. Envoys from all sides have visited to negotiate an Egyptian ceasefire proposal.
President-elect Barack Obama promises a swift veto if Congress doesn't authorize the rest of the $700 billion bailout money. Only half has gone out so far. The veto threat came in a meeting with top Senate Democrats. Today, the Senate's dance card is full of confirmation hearings again. The President-elect's picks to lead the EPA, Agriculture, Veterans Affairs, and Transportation Departments will all take questions today. Not expected to appear, Chelsea Clinton's left arm. You might remember it lurking behind her mom's testimony all morning yesterday. One of the most closely watched hearings, of course, Adora, is going to be Treasury Secretary choice Tim Geithner. New information about him. He's bucking the modern trend of cabinet missteps in housekeeping hiring. He's under fire for failing to pay $34,000 in taxes. He paid up by the time the Obama team announced his name.
Staying on the economy, we're watching retail sales reports today. Asian markets closed up just a touch this morning. European markets are currently down, and it was a mixed day on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow edged down, closing at 84.48, and the S&P gained a little bit, ending at 871. And we're talking about infrastructure today. A study says 80% of Americans would happily pay more taxes to get their roads and bridges and railways fixed. Do you believe that? What's happening in your neighborhood? Does it need some cash?
We want to know. 1-877-8-MY-TAKE.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's going to be another busy day in Washington, D.C. as the city gets ready for the inauguration on Tuesday. And Congress is moving ahead with confirmation hearings and expanding a federal child health care program. And then, of course, there's the stimulus package. For the latest, Todd Zwillick, reporter from Capital News Connection, joins us now from Washington. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning.
And let's start with the nomination process of Treasury Secretary nominee Tim Geithner. And apparently a bit of a snag has to do with taxes and an immigrant who worked for the family.
That's right. if this that's Tim Geithner, and if this sounds familiar to anyone,
Zoe Baird, maybe
Zoe Baird, Linda Chavez, Kimba Wood. Lots and lots of nominees have gone before Tim Geithner. Zoe Baird and Kimba Wood were both attorney general nominees in the Clinton administration, and Linda Chavez was a nominee for labor secretary for George W. Bush. Each and every one of them had their nominations tanked in part by having a resident in their home or a domestic worker or both who was either illegal or a recent immigrant who was not a citizen who did not have taxes paid on them. Now, there were different permutations. This is part of what's now troubling Tim Geithner, among other things. He appeared before the Finance Committee and some of its investigators yesterday to say that he had made an honest mistake. Also, some back taxes that were not paid when he was an employee at the International Monetary Fund. He said that all of this was an honest mistake and an oversight. And so far, a lot of the key players seem to believe him. Harry Reid, the majority leader, came out yesterday and backed Geithner, used those same words. It's an honest mistake. I understand an honest mistake. Chairman Max Baucus of the Finance Committee, who will be in charge of either confirming or denying Geithner's nomination in the Finance Committee, also said he felt it was an honest mistake and didn't feel it was an impediment to Geithner's nomination. So as though things aren't complicated enough with the Treasury Department right now and those TARP funds, a little bit of a speed bump for Geithner. I don't know, and I don't think anyone knows whether or not that speed bump will grow into something larger, but we'll have to wait and see. His nomination hearing starts tomorrow.
So do you think in part the Democratic reaction to this is a sign of the times, that we've come further along the road where it takes much more than just not paying your taxes to get your nomination scuttled?
Well, I think part of it is that the Democrats control all three branches, or will shortly. So the amount of dust up, the amount of noise that gets generated, might be dampened a little bit. Republicans don't have quite as big a megaphone as they would if they had more numbers in the Congress. Also, it appears at the moment that a lot of Republican opposition, to the extent that there will be Republican opposition to Obama cabinet nominees, will come tomorrow in the Eric Holder hearing. Eric Holder for Attorney General. The Attorney General slot, as we've said before, is a lightning rod for controversy. Republicans and the Republican base care a lot about judicial issues and that Attorney General office, and they're already mounting some opposition to Holder, so a lot of their energy seems to be focused there right now. It remains to be seen if they focus any on Tim Geithner.
But speaking of which, you kept saying honest mistake. If it was perhaps another cabinet position, we could sort of shrug and go, okay, an honest mistake. This is the Treasury Department. You're not supposed to make any mistakes on your taxes.
No, you're not supposed to. None of them is supposed to make any mistakes on their taxes. Geithner says, by the way, this was caught by the vetters and by Geithner himself, apparently, and all of these back taxes were paid before Geithner was named as Obama's nominee. Of course, he was at the New York Fed before this and did play a role in the first half of the TARP in the way it was spent and the rescue plan. Catherine, you're right. They're supposed to have this stuff sorted out, and you have to wonder how many times the high-profile nominees have to go through the same thing before people get it straight. I don't know the answer to that. Who knows why people do or don't do things? It looks like they caught it relatively – well, they caught it at least before his confirmation hearing. So that's something. And these things always – it's always a matter of what's going on at the time. You know, sometimes people do – things that seem rather terrible, and it slides by sometimes.
I'm sure that's going to make Linda Chavez, Dimba Wood, and Zoe Baird feel just great. But it certainly does make you wonder. But we've got a list of things to get through here. So let's move on to the S-CHIP, the expansion of the health care program that will now cover for more than 4 million more children.
Well, if this sounds familiar, it should, because an almost identical bill knocked around the last Congress the last 2 years was vetoed twice by President Bush, and the House came within a dozen votes last year of overriding the veto. They never quite got there. They're going to pass the bill again today, and they won't need the override this time. Barack Obama would sign this bill. The bill will pass easily today by all counts. You're right, raises the number of kids insured under the Children's Health Insurance Program to around 10 million, and they do it by increasing the federal excise tax on tobacco, on a pack of cigarettes, make that excise an even dollar. So hopefully they hope to use the tax structure to have fewer smokers, if possible, but also raise money for children's health insurance. Tobacco state lawmakers obviously don't like the plan too much, but they're in the minority. So this one's going to pass today.
And we're talking about roughly $33 billion over 4.5 years to cover those 10 million children.
That's right.
And, of course, we're talking about a whole lot more than that when it comes to the stimulus package. And it seems that the Obama team is making a full court press to the lawmakers.
Well, Barack Obama was up on the Hill yesterday, met with the Democratic caucus around lunchtime, and did make a full court press, you're right, and it's been followed up with a lot of phone calls around trying to get the stimulus done and trying to get the TARP. Now, these two things are separate, and yet they're all bundled up into the same multi-dozen, $100 billion ball of spending that's going through Congress right now, and it's all a little bit tangled up. The stimulus bill is not done yet. It's probably going to be done by next week because the House committees want to start marking up, want to start processing this big stimulus, potentially $750 billion worth by next week. Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi met with their leadership teams last night, came out to say we're making great progress, but they didn't have any paper to back that up. They don't have any hard numbers yet. They're not giving any indication of what the ratios are with tax cuts and spending and aid to the states, but they say they're making progress, and they say to expect a bill by early next week so those committees can get on the case.
Hang on a minute, Todd. It's early in the morning. The Troubled Asset Relief Program, that's the problem we're trying to take care of, right? That's one chunk of money, and the other chunk of money is the future that we're trying to take care of?
Those two things. Troubled Asset Relief Program, $350 billion. Stimulus, another $700 to $850 billion. On top of that, Catherine, on top of that, yes. Two different things.
And when you're talking about phone calls being made, President-elect Obama is actually making some of those phone calls, I understand, assuring some lawmakers who are concerned about that money going to homeowners, wanting to make sure that homeowners are getting some relief.
Correct. There is almost no one in Congress who's happy with the way the first half, that first $350 billion, was spent by the Bush Treasury Department, by Henry Paulson. So now the administration, sort of in tandem, Bush made the request on Obama's behalf, but the administration has come back and asked for the second half. Now, later this week, probably by Friday, the Senate is going to vote on a resolution of disapproval. This is part of the process, and we don't have to get too terribly into the details, but it is important. There's going to be a resolution of disapproval in the Senate, and that will be the important vote to see whether the Senate rejects the second half of that TARP, says you can't use it, or says, yes, okay, you can use it. And the conditions under which Obama will be able to use the second $350 billion is what's under consideration right now. And it's a bit of an unusual situation because the Senate doesn't want to legislate any new rules.
Right.
Part of that is because Republicans still hold some levers in the Senate. They're not quite irrelevant, not even close to irrelevant, really, under Senate rules. And they don't want a bill because if there's a bill, the Democrats will write it. So what they're headed towards is some kind of agreement, some kind of memo, some kind of understanding. Nobody knows what form that's going to take between the Senate and the House and the Obama administration over what that money will be used for, money for foreclosures, to make sure nobody turns around and does an auto bailout that a lot of Republicans didn't like. They feel like they kind of had that crammed down their throats. More oversight and a full accounting of how the first $350 billion was spent. We're still not quite aware of how some of that money was spent. So all of these things are going to come out. But the interesting thing is that they might come out in some kind of, I don't know, handshake or memo that people sign or don't sign or agree to. So
everything
it's a
is new
rare.
And different in 2009, Todd Zwillick, and you're actually going to be here with us in New York tomorrow.
Oh, I really look forward to it. It's going to be nice to join you.
We look forward to seeing you, Todd Zwillick. Thanks for that.
My pleasure.
Todd Zwillick is a reporter for Capital News Connection, and he was coming to us from Washington.
And we want to remind you that if you have a takeaway on infrastructure, where do you want those dollars to go? 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at takeaway.org.
Go, go, Todd Zwillick!
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.